Hi, everybody. I got to figure out a better way to start these intros other than hi, everybody, because I feel like I'm talking, even though like most of the time when I do these, Ethan's in the room or somebody's in the room. It's a weird way to start a podcast, I think. But anyway, if you have suggestions on that, be sure to let me know. This is our episode with Emmett from Vishnu Skis. We go through what Vishnu is, who Emmett is, and the whole nine yards. It's actually one of my favorite episodes to date, even though I knew almost nothing about the brand and what they do and what he does. He's just got a cool thing going, man. I mean, and I think you'll get that from the episode. This is one that I kind of don't need to explain that much. You just need to listen to the episode. You can find Vishnu on social media at Vishnu Freeski, and that's V-I-S-H-N-U Freeski, or Vishnu Items. Either one. Vishnu Items is the clothing, and Vishnu Freeski is the skis and other video content. Great guy, great company, and I really, really like what they're doing. If you guys have questions about this episode or guests that you want to see on future shows, let us know. Just hit us up on email or in the DMs or whatever you want. It's just Adam at outofpodcast.com. You can also find us on social media at Out of Podcast. If you don't follow us already, be sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called. I feel like they should rename that thing. You know, like I feel like it needs a name. You know, it's big enough. Podcasts are like big enough now that like they should have a better name other than just podcasts and like how I refer to it. Not for me, but for everybody else, you know, just to refer to it in a better way. Anyway. When you, wherever you listen to our episode, just click on the thingy, scroll down all the way. It'll say write a review. You can just leave feedback by leaving us a 5-star thing or write us a little blurb about how much you love us. Either way, I'm totally happy with that. That's it. Let's get into the episode. Thanks, guys. What's going on, dude?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Who are you? What do you do?
My name's Emmett Davis. I live here in Salt Lake City, and I'm a co-founder and current head of Vishnu Freeski.
Sick. So what is Vishnu? First of all, what does Vishnu even mean?
So Vishnu is a Hindu deity.
Okay.
And I usually only explain this to people that ask just because I don't necessarily want the brand to be affiliated with anything religious specifically.
I get that.
I'm not trying to offend anyone.
Yeah. You
know? But in the Hindu religion, just like in Christianity, there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Vishnu, Hinduism, there's Vishnu, Shiva, Ganesh. So Shiva is the destroyer, Ganesh is the creator, and Vishnu is the overseer of life on earth. So the force that comes to earth to maintain order is Vishnu, depending on what kind of Hindu you are.
Right.
So we felt that was... Basically, I heard the name Vishnu from a different video.
Yeah.
Thought it sounded cool. Started writing it over and over.
Yeah.
And then looked into it further and felt that it sort of matched what we were going for in terms of rebuilding the skiing world as we saw it needed to be built, I guess, for our brand.
Right. So what exactly do you guys do? I mean, you make skis and clothing, obviously, but like, what do you guys do? What do you guys do differently?
The short answer to that is everything. Everything about this company is different than like a traditional brand. But we're a park skiing company. We're a street skiing company specifically. So, we've built our brand around the culture of skiing in an urban environment, with your friends, building jumps, sliding rails, and making videos. And that's how we connect with the people that buy our skis and that's what we do full time. I'm actually going to do that after this. I'm going up to Park City to film some street skiing. And
sick.
So that's what we do. And you know, what comes with that is park skiing, obviously, but we are a park skiing brand at our core for sure. I have no qualms about that.
About we're definitely, what you guys do,
yeah, totally. We're park rats, always have been.
So obviously, park skiing is not the most lucrative thing in the entire world. Do you guys ever consider like, okay, like we should start going and expanding into all mountain stuff? We should start expanding into big mountain stuff? Or are you just trying to stay like?
Somewhere in the middle. We did that this year.
Okay.
We came out with a wider ski. It's actually called the Wide. Very creative. We thought, yeah. So we came out with basically a wider version of our ski that we have right now. And basically, it's our ski right now is a 90 underfoot. It's fully, it's called the Wet. It's 90 underfoot, 115 in the tips and tails, fully symmetrical, center mounted, bamboo poplar. And we decided that for a lot of people, that wasn't enough ski. We could reach a lot of new people, like you said, a new part of the industry, if you will. So we made this wider ski that's still a park ski at heart, for sure. There's no doubt about it. It's still symmetrical because that's how we ski, but it definitely can hold its own outside of the park. And so I'm into the slow build. We could have easily like put out three different kinds of skis when we started. Like many other companies launch with five different molds and all that, but we figured we'd stick to what we knew, which was, you know, shithead rail skiing.
And it's
worked. And we figured like the fact that we don't expand and that we're very slow to move into other parts of the skiing world is a strength for us because it means when we finally do, it's unusual. So like most companies, for example, most companies making an all mountain ski, it would be like, obviously they're making an all mountain ski.
Right.
But when we do it, because it's a thing, it's like a different thing because it's not what you'd expect from Vishnu. So I'm into the slow build. We've been doing it for 5 years and it's just, it's slowly unfolding like it should, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you're happy with where you guys are at right now?
I mean, yeah, I don't have another job. This is all I do.
That's
so
sick, dude.
It was a long road.
Yeah.
It was a long road
How long has this been, your only job?
I've driven for Uber on and off for money and to, like, stay sane.
Yeah.
to, like, force myself to talk to other people outside of my house.
Yeah.
I stopped in, like, September. So I've been full-time business boy since then, but I've been running it full-time for 5 years. I've just also been working at a restaurant.
Yeah. Ubering, right.
Eating shit basically like many mid-20s millennials.
It's funny. That's 2 days in a row where I asked somebody like what else they do or what their full-time, like what their real job. Like I asked Girai Didali yesterday what his full-time job is.
Shouts out to Girai, by the way,
dude, he's the shit. And he was like, yeah, this is my full-time job, but I also have another job.
Yeah.
Like they're just both full-time jobs. You know, it's not that one is just what I consider a full-time job, I guess. And one I'm working as many hours.
For sure. I mean, Garai's a highly educated individual as well. So
super smart.
I mean, he could probably go work for Boeing or something if he felt like it.
For sure. I didn't even know that about him until I started talking to him.
Crazy.
And then I was like, okay. This is what we're doing.
He knows what he's, he's very technically sound.
I had a lot more faith in the Daymakers thing too, for sure. After he said all that stuff and I was this makes a lot of sense.
He
like,
knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. If you think it works, then I think it works. So how have you guys used or have you used social media to kind of grow your business and how has that ended up working out for you?
We were talking earlier about social media skiers and that type of thing. I dread the idea of being a social media company.
Yeah.
I want to be a real world company.
Okay.
You know, I want to be out there at the resorts with kids, you know, at Brighton filming. Like I want, it's really easy to get caught up in social media and to try too hard and ultimately damage yourself by trying too hard. So our social media has been a slow build, trying not to try too hard, but still I use social media as a tool.
Yeah,
I would say, and that would sum it up. A lot of not just ski companies, but brands in general, their Instagram is all they have. That's it.
People too. I mean,
their followers, their comment, it's just so much. You can just get totally lost in it and totally lose the complete direction of what you're doing if you're too worried about like user engagement and shit. It's like that's important, but it's a tool. It's a tool like anything else. And so I try not. Right. I'd say what I do with social media is try not to think about it too much. That's what I do with social media. I just let it go. I let team members take over and do shit without just do whatever you want. I try to run a very loose ship on social media because I think it adds to authenticity. I think,
yeah,
if everything is ultra proof read and it's ultra, you know, sent to third party analytics with like other companies, right, who I won't name, but you know, they send their social media stats to whoever and they analyze it and they're like, blah, blah. I don't do any of that shit. I don't think it's important, but I have better things to worry about.
Yeah.
In like my opinion,
a real business, you know, like, right. And not that social, I mean, I get it. Like we've talked about it on the show before. It's like, it is a real business, I guess, social media right now. Like you can make a living off of it and all this shit. And
if you want to,
I think it's a miserable way to do it. I hate that we have to use it at all. I mean, we do use it a lot and fucking now that they have that little Instagram thing where they tell you how much you've been on your social, dude, that thing like gives me all the anxiety now because like, dude, I need to stop.
It's bad. It's a drug.
It is. It really is a drug. But I guess, I bet when websites first came out, like everybody was kind of on the same thing. It's like, I can reach all these people everywhere by just putting skis on my website.
Yeah, totally.
It's definitely a weird thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this whole social media world because it's like, it's a good thing and a bad thing, right? Like you said, it's a tool, but I'd imagine you guys, like I found out about you guys through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wouldn't have known otherwise. So like sometimes you need to use those kind of things.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, I use it every day. I'm not saying I'm anti-social media. I just try to keep a good scope and keep a good understanding of what really makes a brand function.
Mm.
Which is first and foremost customer. I mean, we can get into philosophies and all that, but I think the best thing about social media is if you want to DM Vishnu and ask me a question, I'll answer it in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Because I'm on my phone on a professional level. I'm on my phone all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
And it's like really cracked and broken. So sometimes if I'm DMing you and I spell things wrong, it's because I can't see my screen. But we're working on that. We're going to get a new phone. We're working on it. But yeah.
That's the next big update.
It's really, definitely. It's really easy to stress out, have anxiety about social media, about your followers, about your posts, not getting enough views and blah, 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 blah. But I can think of 10 plus more important things than social media in terms of running a business.
The product. I mean, that's the main thing, right? Like, I mean, so I guess we should probably talk more
about that. Yeah, we should.
Like,
we should. I'd love to. So this is a very contentious issue
with our brand. Oh, sure. I agree. How do you guys make your skis and I know how skis made, but like, how do you guys do it? Like because you guys sold quite a few skis this year and it's going really well.
We had a good year.
So how do you do it?
Well, we outsourced to China, to Shenzhen. To a company called GP87, who you may have heard make a little brand called DPS.
Mm.
They actually make two of their skis.
That's where I'm going after this, actually.
For the record, we had them first. For the record. We were actually their first contract, this factory. They like to keep it low profile. I've actually never said their name out loud in an interview, so I don't even know if I'm like allowed to do that, but I don't think they care too. They don't care.
They won't listen to this.
They probably won't. They're four dudes from Michigan, though, so they're, like, pretty chill.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's dope that I can just, like, call Dan on the phone and talk to him about skis rather than having to keep a translator on full time. But, yeah, our skis are made in China, and I have no problem with that. The made in China equaling cheap and bad is an idea that doesn't really apply anymore, in my opinion. In certain cases, it does.
Not for nicer stuff. It applies for like small.
Right, but for nicer things, a lot of Chinese factories are like brand new, state of the art places where high quality products are made, like ours, and it's made by people that are paid to do their job.
Mm.
And I mean, that's really that. People love to rip on Vishnu for not being made in the United States, basically, is what I'm getting at. That's basically the number one.
I mean, the skis would be more expensive.
Issue.
It would hinder a whole bunch more stuff. Like, I mean, look at, so you mentioned DPS. Like, DPS is stuff that's made in the U.S. is $1,300.
Right.
You know, like, it's just not, I don't think it's a conversation that even makes sense because all those people that are talking shit, like, they wouldn't be buying your skis if they were made in the U.S. and they were $1,000. Like, I mean, maybe they would.
Yeah.
But.
Well, we started out we started out. It's cool that you interviewed Garai to Dolly. Mm. His partner in Dave Makers is a person named Chris Trunek.
Yeah, he was on too.
He was. Yeah. Chris actually helped design the first Vishnu ski.
Really?
Right. Him and I have been friends for a very long time. He's also like a genius.
Yeah. He's super smart.
Like in terms of like being able to think three-dimensionally and just make stuff, it's pretty crazy to watch. But anyway, yeah, in 2014, he's a longtime friend of mine, and him and I had like creative differences, so he ended up not being a part of Vishnu when we actually founded it. But the original ski was actually made in his garage here in Salt Lake City in a vacuum mold. So like a garbage bag that if you've ever seen a vacuum sealer, like that, but way bigger. So it actually presses the ski together. They broke in like 15 minutes. They broke if you like breathed on them wrong. But
really?
But the idea was there. And so then from there, I was like, well, I want to start this company. It was with my co-founder, who's no longer really affiliated with the brand. He stepped away last year. He was just more into rafting than he was into skiing. But him and I were like, well, we still want to do this. I don't have $250,000 at my disposal.
Yeah.
So how can we make this company into a business? Because I had just graduated from college. It was like, how do I do this for a living, right?
Yeah.
And so first we went to a guy named Howard Wu in Salt Lake, Wu Banger. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's a custom ski builder.
Wu Banger, huh?
Wu Banger. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he made us like 10 pairs of skis.
Yeah.
With those 10 pairs, we filmed our first video that we put out in March of 2014.
Mm.
And then from there, we went to SIA and we met up with our connect from GP87, Dan Agundez. God bless Dan. Dan is like my grandpa. He's like my skiing godfather. Wouldn't be here without him. If Dan Agundez ever stops making skis, Vishnu is no longer a thing. We've already set the precedent. Like, yeah. He also makes D-Day snowboards. He also makes some DPS skis. He makes some other stuff, but
sick.
It was basically out of necessity that we went to China, and I'm glad we did. We turned it into a business. I don't really, you know, rather than turning it into just a money pit, which is what a lot of things become.
Yeah, for sure. That's what this is. That's what this podcast is.
It's what many businesses are. They just
throw money at it and who knows what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And that's part of it. Part of it. And the people that, be too salty, but it does bother me. It's kind of like bad form, but it does bother me when people automatically write our skis off as cheap because they're Chinese, because we make better ski. Like
it should, but I mean, people do that to all kinds of brands. Yeah, people do that shit to K2, and I mean, some K2 shit is doggy shit, but I mean, some shit is good. Like they make super nice boots. Like they make some super nice skis. Like
they also made the K2 pontoon. There'd be no Vishnu without the K2 pontoon.
Yeah, dude, that's a sick ski. Like, I mean, honestly, like there, it doesn't necessary. I mean, yeah, are there shitty ways to make things? Yeah, but there's shitty ways to make things here. It doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. Just
I know plenty of ski brands that suck that are made in America. So,
yeah, tons. Know, I mean, I'm sure that's what it is. So I don't think it's a thing that like people just want to harp on things that they know are easy.
There's just like a circle jerk of American made products, and it's particularly bad in skiing.
Yeah, I think so.
For some reason.
It's gotten worse over the past few years, but I mean, part of that's because of social media, because it can grow and like one person has one and this dude has one, so now this dude wants one. It's like, it is an interesting thing, but I don't know, we'll see where that ship kind of sails to.
So, but speaking of which, speaking of Made in America skis, I listened to your last episode with the Parlor guy.
Yeah.
And I like that interview. It's funny that him and I have completely different paths.
Yeah.
What we want to do, but our ethos is the same. What's important to our brand is the same. It's a high quality product, making people feel valued.
Right.
Making people feel like you listen to them when they have problems, being there when it's good, being there when it's bad. So ultimately, where the ski is made, like, really, truly doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You could argue that I'm taking away from American workers and all that, but I'm also adding to the world economy, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's also like, how many workers are you really, like, at some point, that number, like, you not employing five people to make skis for you here is not going to change the global scheme of things. Like, I mean, there's already a system that exists with or without you, you know, that makes skis. So
very true.
It's so like, you don't need, you're just going into the system that's there.
Right? Yeah. Also, have you ever worked in a factory? I have. It sucks.
That's a good point.
It sucks. That's a good point. It sucks no matter anywhere. What, yeah. if you're in Oregon, if you're in Shenzhen, working in a factory is hard. Mm. I actually worked in a spice factory when I was a senior in high school, running orders, and it's grueling, horrible. But, you know, China, that's China's role in the world economy right now, is labor. That's what brought them out of the post-communist state of their country. And, you know, are there companies that make products like, you know, that enslave children? Definitely. But kids can't run a pneumatic ski press, so...
Yeah, that's a good point. It shit's a little more complicated than
you have to be like educated.
To know what you're doing.
I mean, I guess you could have a kid run it.
You could. There's some smart kids. There's tons of kids that are way smarter than I am, dude.
Tiny like, hands in there.
Yeah, I get. Well, that's not exactly what I meant. But it is a funny thing. I don't know. It's
slave labor is not funny. Okay, it's not funny.
In this particular context, it is funny, but like in general, no, it's not funny, and we're not promoting it anyway.
I watched a thing last night about fast fashion in Pakistan, like Zara and H&M and all that.
Yeah,
it's insane, dude. Insane.
Where'd you watch that?
Just YouTube documentaries. I don't know.
Just get into a wormhole,
dude. I live in an internet wormhole. I am the wormhole. Like, seriously. Vishnu has only operated... I was telling you that I haven't been up this early in a really long time.
Yeah.
I literally, like, wake up at 4 p.m. and then, like, work from 4 p.m. to, like, 7 in the morning and then...
That's so crazy.
So anytime you see Vishnu stuff happening, it's, like, in the middle of the night. Like, caffeine overdose, like, insanity. So
I'm, like, I've been the opposite lately where, I get up too early. And I, like, expect everything to be going on. Like, I went skiing and snowboard yesterday, and, like, I was there, like, at 7 or some shit. Like, and they don't open until, what are you doing in the parking lot right now? Like, there's no one around. And I, like, I don't know. I just expected people to be there. Right. So, but, I mean, that's how it goes. So how do you guys deal with the actual business aspect? Like, I mean, how do you guys deal with warranty issues? How do you deal with customer feedback? Like, I mean, there's a lot of steps to running your own business, right? So how do you guys deal with that stuff?
First of all, I have a great accountant. That's my guy.
Yeah.
Butler Tax in Murray, Utah. Shouts out. Keep me right no matter what. Bart Rigg, you're my guy. So that's the first step. Get a good accountant. I got a good lawyer, too. Christian Thompson, shouts out to my lawyer. I don't know. The way I deal with it is I just deal with it. I mean, if you call Vishnu Freesky, you call my phone. If you DM Vishnu Freesky, you're talking to me. So our warranties are case by case. And what that means is we're small enough and we make a quality enough product that we're above the industry average. I've been told that the industry average is one out of every 50 is a defective pair.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Ours is more like one out of 100.
Yep.
So if you break a pair of Vishnus, please contact me. And it's case by case in the sense of send me pictures.
Right.
If you ran into a wall or something.
Yeah, people are dumb. They do stuff like that.
Dude, I've got some doozies, like some fucking, did you put your ski in a wood chipper? Like, how are you doing this? But kids, if it can be broken, kids will figure out a way to do it for sure.
Adults too, dude. It's definitely crazy. Like, I mean, boots, like we had a guy last year that wanted his boots warranted because he left him like in front of his fire and then fell asleep and woke up and they were just a puddle. Like they were just all melted off. And he like wanted a warranty. And I was like, dude, this isn't the company's fault. Like, do you understand how warranties work? And that's a funny thing, man. I don't get it. People figure out a way to make it work for themselves.
Pretty much, here's our warranty in plain terms. If your skis become unrideable very quickly, like quicker than they should, contact me. If you're polite and not a dickhead, I'll probably give you new skis. Basically.
That's how the world probably should
work. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to it.
Just be nice and be honest about what you did and like see if somebody can give you a hand. Like,
at the same time, there's some things that I... sometimes I have to tell kids, like, this is what happens when you ski rails.
Mm.
You know?
It's true.
Like a kid will hit me up. Some kid hit me up the other day and he's like, I skied these like 45 days last year and I have 2 edge cracks.
Mm.
Which is uncommon. A lot of times our skis go an entire season without any edge cracks. It happens, which is sick. But I was like, dude, you're jumping onto metal.
Yeah, it's metal on metal. Like, I mean, it doesn't, skis aren't made. And I guess that's beyond, kind of that's, the problem. That's
a, that goes above kids' heads, though, like, because they watch our videos and they see, like, people like Dylan Manley or Luke Roberts or any of our skiers, you know, riding on concrete. And they think they can do it. God bless them. They can do it. But when our skis break, I need to be there to, like, it's like I was saying earlier. You just have to make people feel like you're paying attention to them. You know, like most of the time, if you get a customer that's complaining, they just want to know that you give a shit.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
And then once you show that you give a shit, they're much easier to work with.
Yeah, you got to get over that like initial hump.
Panic.
They, like, want to
they
kill
panic.
You. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. So, I just spent this much money and you're right. Not helping me at all. Like, what the fuck?
As they should. I mean, you know, you spend money on a product, you expect people to back it up.
Yeah, but it shouldn't start with "fuck you, the ski's broken." It should start with "how can you help me?
Yeah,
I have
right.
this problem. Like, right. this happened. It probably shouldn't have. Whatever. You know, like, people don't approach it really in a rational way, but I guess
true.
People aren't really that rational.
Yeah, you're saying you grew up in the ski shop world, so I'm sure you've seen your fair
share. I get it, for sure.
Ridiculous.
Like, yeah. Oh, dude.
Ridiculous.
Especially around Christmas time. It's like, I ordered these skis Sunday before Christmas. Christmas is on Tuesday. Why aren't they at my door? Like,
can
it's that kind of stuff.
Can you bring them by
it's
hand?
Like, dude, I am not delivering right. them by hand to you. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not driving to New Jersey to bring you your skis. Like, it's just not a thing.
The worst thing is people expecting me to pay their import fees.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's got to be ridiculous,
dude,
huh?
Call your local senator is really all I have to say. I hate it. Oh, my God, that's so annoying. It's like, I got this bill from FedEx for $78. Yeah, they... yep. It's customs. They import it to the border of the country you live in, and people work there, and they got to do... I mean...
That's part of it. It's dumb, but I mean, it's part of
it. I don't know
it.
What to tell you, man.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm sorry.
Way over your head.
So I had to put it on our site that we're like not responsible for import fees. And I also try to put the cost and everything as low as I can to like minimize import fees for kids. But
right. So what's the next step? Like, where do you want to see this go? Do you want to, I mean, I don't know. Are you happy doing it like out of this space, or do you want to move into a full time, like, facility, or are you happy keeping it like small and controlled kind of?
I was thinking, I knew you're gonna ask that, and so I've been
I kind of have to
I
like...
was thinking about that last night. I think my answer to that is we're at the end of a 5-year plan right now.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Right. You don't have to know. I mean, it's your business.
Yeah, but like, I didn't know back then either.
Yeah,
like, you can look back on 5 years ago and be like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen, but I didn't. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just take it day by day, and I just try to make the right choices. I try to consult everyone in the brand that's been with me. Mm. You know, I got 3 or 4 people that have been with us from the very, very beginning, and so try to consult them, and I try to just stay true to my 15-year-old self, pretty much. That's pretty much who I'm selling skis to in the first place, is like summer setup, AstroTurf skiing in the summer in Wisconsin, 16-year-old me.
Yeah.
So I think what I can say about what I want to do is the direction we're going in with international stuff is definitely big. Sold 40 pairs of skis to Europe and Scandinavia this year. And that was with $100 shipping that they were paying. So, right. Right. So if kids are down to do that, that means the market in Europe is there. So, I always joke that I want to buy a boat. That's what I always say.
That's the end goal, just buy a boat.
Yeah, whenever people ask me what I want to do, I'm always like, we're going to buy a yacht, and we're going to a boat with a pool on it, and we're going to go to Fiji.
That'd be sick.
I don't know, man.
I feel like you're probably in the wrong industry to buy a boat and go to Fiji and all that. I mean, who knows, though? I guess some people do it, right?
Yeah, ultimately, if I want to be running this company, I need to be skiing. And so as long as I personally am skiing, as long as I personally am going to Brighton and filming, as long as I'm filming street videos, as long as we're all together skiing, then this will go on forever.
It's a good way to do
basically.
It. I mean, that's a good philosophy to have. Like, yeah. I mean, as long as you enjoy it. Because that's the thing. You see a lot of people that, like... And I see this in retail kind of a lot, where like people run shops and they'll do this thing, and at some point they kind of they stop skiing and they just go to work. Like it's just a job.
I'm not doing that.
I don't want to do that either. It's like, that's what I've always said is like, once I stop skiing and I don't want to do this anymore, then I'm going to go work a different job where I can actually A, make money. Like if I'm going to be miserable, I need to be miserable making money.
Right.
Like I can't be miserable and not make money. Right. I'd rather have fun and not make money all day. But if there's no option, then it is what it is.
I agree with that. That was one of the founding values of this brand is that first of all, we need to always have a ski that's under $500 is a founding principle. And also that if we're running this brand, we need to be skiing. Because that was the whole beginning of this brand was dealing with industry type people that, like you were saying, don't actually ski. And so they don't actually know what kids want and they don't, you know, we're really out there, like using the product, participating in the culture. We live in Salt Lake in the park skiing Mecca. And so as long as I'm still doing that, Vishnu will be a thing. And I think that's what everyone else affiliated with the brand would say as well. You know, I'm 27 now. In 5 years, I could see myself running this company even bigger than it is now. I could also see myself doing something completely different. I mean, I don't know. I try not to live my life like that. I try not to think about it too much.
It's a lot of planning.
I try not to think about it too much, really.
And you're your own boss, right? So, like, you can kind of...
Whatever.
It is what it is. It's your decision. Yeah. That's the nice thing about running your own business, I think, is that... It's the nice thing and the bad thing that like everything's on you, but everything's on you, you know? So it works both ways.
I've made that choice though. Like it's not, I've gotten fired or quit every single job I've ever had. So it's just my personality type.
Like, what else? What's the other option? I was thinking about that as you said it, like you get fired or quit.
I mean, just like every job I've had, like many retail jobs, restaurant jobs, that type of thing. I'm just not the type of person that can work for other people.
Yeah.
I have a very like type A dickhead, my way personality.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same way. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's another one of those things.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But, I've torn both my ACLs. So I'm coming off my second one in June. So
really,
this is going to be a good test. I'm allowed to ski on Friday.
Monday.
So this will be a good test for me. Like, do I still like skiing? Do I still care? I think I definitely do, but I just haven't done it in a while. And
yeah, it's a weird thing, huh? Like I just did mine, in May.
Oh really?
Yeah. So like,
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm definitely ahead of schedule. I'm definitely skiing earlier than I probably should have. Cause I started skiing last month ish. But so I guess that puts us around the same time.
I don't know. Did you tell your surgeon about that?
Nope.
He
wouldn't like that at all. But that being said, I got into like strength and conditioning like 2 months out instead of like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So like, I've been hitting it pretty hard, like to make sure that I feel good. And I mean, it feels okay. Just, I feel like an 80-year-old man when I first start the day.
It only gets worse.
Dude, I don't want to.
It only gets worse.
And that's what I'm kind of hoping it gets, like, it has been better. Like, yesterday I felt good on run 3 instead of run 10.
Totally.
You know, and that part's cool. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
That part will only get better.
Yeah.
I'm saying as you age.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sure that's going to get worse and worse and shittier. But I'm trying to do the right things other than wait too long to go skiing because that's not something that I want to do. Especially working in a ski shop where, like, all you're doing is talking about it all the time and you can't do it.
It's the worst.
What am I going to do? Like, and they ask you and then you got to be like, oh, yeah, I injured myself doing nothing, basically. So it's
I was skiing off a curb.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whatever.
It was probably already, like, partially torn, though. Like,
that's what I
used to really jump off. I used to really fucking, like, purposely not build landings and just like jump off buildings.
Everything to flat.
I thought it was, thought it was cool and funny to not build landings. It's not cool and funny.
I don't know how I would think that would be funny at any point, but I guess
it's just sick to be like,
it is sick, but it's also like yeah. You know?
But I'm paying the price now, man. I got
It's
all good though.
It's dumb. Injuries suck. It is. It's part of the deal. It's what happens. Yeah. Let's do some. Instagram.
Going to the gram? Hell yeah, dude.
Going to the
Let's
gram.
Let's get it.
Let's do some questions. All right. What do they use to make their... Eli Derek wants to know, what do they use to make their ski material construction-wise?
So it's a bamboo poplar ski. It's a blend that our factory comes up with. I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Yeah.
They the guy that does our skis, Dan Agundez, is a master. Like, he's been doing this for like 25 years.
Yeah.
So I don't ask, and even if I did, he wouldn't tell me like specifics, I think. But, but like, we use like, you know, we use like a sintered raise base. We use
some good stuff.
We could get all technical if we don't want need to, but yeah. I mean, we use like top of the line. We pay a lot for our skis.
Yeah.
Like, but they're good.
Yeah.
So that's,
the idea. I mean, you want to make a good product. That's the
whole point. I mean, but yeah, they're bamboo poplar with his flex pattern. He's explained this to me in depth, but again, I'm not a technical guy.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
In my own way. So, yeah, I just trust what he says, basically. I just call him up and I say, yo, what's up, dude? Could I get, like a ski that, like, is, like, sick? And he's like, yeah, man, for sure. And then he just makes these, like, insane skis that are just so good.
That's funny.
I don't know.
I
only made it to Algebra 2 in high school. Like,
me too.
I got a D+.
Yeah, me too. Actually, no shit. Again. Like, I actually did too. Like, that's funny.
I'm not, you know, I respect like ski maker and like tech stuff, and I've worked in shops, and I can talk the talk if I feel like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. So I leave it to the experts. It's a mark of a good businessman, in my opinion, is letting people that know more than you do stuff for you.
I think that's an important thing with everything. It's like when people know how to do something really well, let them
do it.
Yeah, you do your thing. You do they it. Do their thing.
If
you
I have issues, you'll hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. For real.
All right. Next question is Trilcox says, stop acting sus on that keyboard, boy.
Chris Wilcox is a dear friend of mine from college. Shouts out to Chris Wilcox. I like I was saying to you earlier, I quit drinking 5 months ago and I started playing piano. I bought a $30 Casio keyboard off of the local classifieds, and I just play like banger love ballads, like Heart and like
really
old shit. Yeah, it's therapeutic.
That's what. So not drinking means you're doing keyboard stuff.
I had to do other things, like I was drinking. So like, I mean, we could do a whole other podcast about mental health and substances if you want to or something, but yeah, basically I just replaced my problematic drinking with exercise and piano, and
that's not a bad thing, man.
I mean, my organs feel better.
I'm sure your whole body feels better. Yeah, you might be bored sometimes, but
very bored. Yeah. But well, I can wake up in the morning and it's like fine.
Yeah, it's not a big
deal. Like I said, this is a whole other this is a whole other podcast for sure, dude.
Let's see. Anonymous says, why aren't there crows on the bird's top sheet of the wide? The public demands answers.
That's Laura Obermeyer. She's, I know it. She loves crows. The answer to that is that the wide top sheet with the birds on it, I actually got from this book that I bought at this rare bookstore. It's called Ken Sanders Rare Books. And it is a 1954 almanac of birds of the world. And I like cut out the pages and then scanned them in and like put them together on a top sheet, and the crow one wouldn't fit. That's the answer to that question. The crow one was too big to fit on the width of the ski. Otherwise I would have done it. Laura.
She told me not to say anything. So I was like, I was trying to be good.
I know she sent me a drawing of a crow recently. She loves them.
How do you feel about new schoolers?
How do I feel about new schoolers? Yeah.
Nick Douglas wants to know.
Man, I had an account on new schoolers in 2004. I grew up on new schoolers, basically, as like a lonely weirdo kid in Wisconsin, just like posting on the forums and just seeing the skiing world unfold. New schoolers sucks. It's also the best thing that's ever happened to skiing at the same time. I think you could say that about most internet message boards.
Yeah. Yeah. It is definitely.
There's a lot of cancer on there. There's a lot of trolling, but valuable stuff, right?
Yeah. So
we wouldn't be where we are without newschoolers.com. Mm. Thank you, newschoolers.com, for being, you know, what you are. Obviously, as the world transitions to social media on their phone, like a website like that is going to get quieter. But I think that new schoolers will always be a thing.
Yeah.
And I'll always be, I try to check it once a day. I try not to like go on and like read anything because it like hurts my brain. But, but yeah, man, I mean, dude, my formative years, like 14, 15, 16, like you can go, you can look it up.
Dude, that fridge is crazy.
I know. I have a really old fridge. It knocks. There's like, it gets mad. Yeah, new schooler sucks, but I love it. That's my answer to that question.
That's a good answer. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it too, I guess. Like, I mean, they do a good job, but they have done a good job of like transitioning into social media too. Yeah. Like, their following's good. They're putting out content that applies to different kinds of people, I guess, too. So they're, I mean, they're doing a good job at diversifying, but still being true to what they do. So, I mean, that's a cool thing for sure.
I heard some kids the other day saying that they didn't know newschoolers.com was a website. They thought it was just an Instagram account.
Really?
And I said, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? But that's the world we live in, you know?
Yeah, so that's how things go.
Yeah.
Will Vishnu Items be doing a collab with Hot Topic soon? I've been waiting for a while. That's another Lower Overmeyer question.
Shouts out to Vishnu Items. That's me. That's our other Instagram. It's basically just like, to put it simply, everybody that can't buy skis just wants a Vishnu piece of clothing with a logo on it. But I just try to do it as creatively and as innovatively as I can in my house right behind us here. I don't know about a Hot Topic collab, but we do have a collab with Arsenic, with Tall T Dan coming out pretty soon here. And one with a company called Cult Gear. They used to sponsor like people like The Kid and A4 and that. So I'm always the clothing thing is like totally separate from the skiing thing, but they are one and the same. I'm always trying to find new, I guess, put people on that want to do clothing stuff, because I'm like pretty knowledgeable, and like if you're younger and you like making clothes, like I have all the equipment to do so. And so if you want to come over to my house and I can teach you how to sew, I can teach you. I've done it to like two or three people now, and they have their own little brands going and that type of thing. So it's just something I use. Vishnu Items is like the culmination of 10 years of hobby sewing, basically. Like when I was younger, I used to like crochet hats. I used to make tall hoodies when that was a thing. I don't know if you remember that, but like hoodies, hoodies down to your knees type of shit. I could just like do that. And then at a certain point, you know, we started selling more skis, and I was like, hell yeah, I can quit my stupid job at a restaurant. What do I want to do, actually want to do? And the answer was, you know, screen printing, embroidering,
yeah,
that type of thing. So that's definitely my full-time job. Like I spend 6 hours a day at least like making sweatshirts, making
whatever. No shit, huh?
Yeah, man. It's dope. I'm into it. I mean,
stuff's cool.
It's my job.
Yeah.
It's my job.
That's your job. As long as you like it, then
that's I mean, like a true capitalist, I monetize my hobbies.
That's the way to do it, though. I mean, very honestly, important. You'd be happy.
Very important in a capitalist society. Yeah, 100%. I'm not trying to get too communist here, but we can monetize your hobbies. Seize the means.
Do it, people. All right. So where can people find you on social media? Where can people find Vishnu online? Tell the people where they go.
So check us out, Vishnu Freeski, V-I-S-H-N-U Freeski on Instagram. Vishnu Items is a clothing one if you're trying to get some fresh ass gear. VishnuFreeski.com is the website. All our skis are sold out for the season already, but we'll be back in April with pre-sale stuff. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Hope I did okay.
No, that was great.
I don't really know.
I'm sure we'll find out. We'll have good emails and shit.
Yo, this dude's a fucking idiot.
That's probably what they say about me, and I just Ethan just deletes those emails, I bet. But
you sound like Joe Rogan. Has anyone ever told you that?
No.
That your tone of your voice is, you sound like Joe Rogan.
I kind of have talked this way my whole life, so yeah. I'm glad it worked out that it like the it's flow dope. Of conversation it's ends a podcast up going pretty type well. Of
voice. Yeah,
that's sick. In the beginning, it wasn't like I did one with Calvin Lyons, and it was like it was so hard for me to get through, and I was like, let me write down questions. And I know Calvin, like, and it's like there was no reason for me to write down questions, but I was still like, I'm gonna ask him this one and this one and this one, and it was so much more like it sounded like I actually the first comment I got on it was like, you sound like you do not give a shit about any of this. And I was like, well, I kind of didn't because I knew all the answers already. So, but no, this has been a lot better, but I appreciate
it. You did great. Awesome. You're a goddamn professional. You show up with your, you show up on time with your own equipment. Holy shit, dude.
I know.
That's, you don't even know how good that is.
That's a professional.
Seriously. All you got to do is be on time, not drunk with your own equipment.
That's,
and you're already light years ahead of most people.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I appreciate that. Awesome. Yeah, all right. Well, we're wrapping this thing up. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Bye.
That was our episode with Emmett from Vision New Skis. I really, really liked talking to Emmett. It was a great time, and I hope that next time I'm in Salt Lake City, I will get to talk to him again. It's just a fun guy. I mean, it was just a fun episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. It seriously is one of my favorite episodes. Be sure to follow them on social media. Be sure to follow us on social media. And yeah, that's pretty much. Oh yeah, leave us a review on iTunes. I know I've said that 75,000 times, but I know there's a lot of you that listen that have not left. There's quite a few of you that are slacking off actually and not leaving reviews. So if you want to do that, do it. If you don't want to do that, I'm going to keep saying it until everybody that listens leaves a review. Other than that, I will talk to you guys. I don't know, next week, I guess. It won't be next week for me, but it'll be next week for you. So if that makes sense, have a good one. Bye.